I don't know if the children are ready to come to the front. They've been very busy making something special this morning. Hopefully they'll come up here. There's quite a lot of them, so it's taking a little while to gather them. Now what they've been making something. Can you hold up what you've been making so people can see that way round, so the congregation can see? And these are all cards for Liam on his baptism. So would you like to give them to Liam and his mummy and daddy? He's got a good number of baptism cards today. If your children could stay, some of them, towards the front, it would be quite handy. Because I'd like to talk to you, as you'll see in a moment. A conversation at a baptism was once overheard. It went like this. Mum, why is that lady putting water on the baby? She is baptizing him. Oh, what's that? She's welcoming him into God's family. With water? Yes. If I have a bath, does that make me part of our family? No, you're part of our family already. So she's washing him. Yes. Why? Was he dirty? Now this could have been a scene from the TV series Outnumbered. I don't know if any of you watch it. It's about the antics of a 2 + 3 rather lively, interesting and obviously very intelligent young children, which I, and no doubt from the laughter, you find very amusing. If you haven't seen it, I think it's Thursday evenings. It's really good. And there may actually have been some similar conversations here this morning. And like the mother in this case, Mum or Dad may have given up after the last question and distracted the child, as one does when faced with difficult questions, perhaps especially if you're a politician at the moment. Well, I'm now going to attempt to explain baptism and what it does and why Christians do it. And I'm actually going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and begin by answering a question with a question. So, the children first, and perhaps adults as well. How many of you belong to an organisation outside the church? Essa? Yes, and would you like to tell me which organisation you belong to? Essa belongs to the Boys' Brigade.
Rainbows.
Rainbows, I believe, are the group before the Brownies, for the younger ones. Yes. Didn't have them in my day, but that's great. Any others? Anybody belong to anything else? There's Beavers, aren't there? Cubs and our guides. We've got some guiders here, I think. Long-standing guiders in Marion and Wendy. And I was a guide a long time ago. So, another question about your organisations that you belong to. When you join them or become a member, do you have to make any promises that all the members have to accept? Do you make a promise, Esther? Do you know what it is? I'll give him a clue. Sure and steadfast. And rainbow promise, do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Kind and helpful.
The rainbow promise is to be kind and helpful. And I think it also says, I will promise to do my best to love my God. So there is a Christian element in that. And the guide promise from our long-standing guiders, what would that be? Marion is going to join us.
Okay.
What's the promise?
It has three parts: duty to God, to love and serve the Queen of my country, and to help other people.
And keep the guide law. So they make a promise when they join organisations. I don't know if any adults belong to anything like Lions, Rotary, WRVS, WI. You probably also have some sort of code of practice or vision or aim that you adhere to. Now, it's the same when we choose to follow Jesus and become a member of his family, which we call church. We make promises, or if we're young, too young, like Liam this morning, our parents and godparents make promises on our behalf until we're old enough to make them ourselves. Just as Liam's parents and godparents have done this morning. By doing this, Liam and all who are baptised are doing the same as Jesus himself. He was baptised by his cousin John in the River Jordan. A bit more dramatic than our bowl here, but there we go. And all Jesus' first followers were baptised. Sometimes lots of people were baptised altogether, and sometimes just one person. And in even Saul, who we heard about in our first Bible reading, was baptised shortly after his dramatic change from being an enemy of Jesus' followers to one of them. Now, another question before you disappear. Can you tell me if the Boys Brigade and Rainbows have a logo, a picture that you might have on your uniform or something?
Rainbow.
A rainbow. That's a nice, simple one. Rainbows have a rainbow. So if you're wearing your rainbow uniform, people know, well, you're going to have one soon, aren't you? Mummy's in the process of buying one, a uniform. So you wear your uniform, it's got a logo on, a rainbow, and everyone knows that you belong to Rainbows. And Esther, what about the Boys Brigade? The Boys Brigade have an anchor. And do you know anything about that, why they have that? No. But it seems that the promise is sure and steadfast, and an anchor is sure and steadfast. So I'm sure it has something to do with that. Now, Marion, I believe, knows a little bit more about her logo for the guys.
This is a very large one. This is a trefoil, one leaf for each part of the promise. That's the old version. This is the 21st century version, which Wendy's blown up for us today. But the trefoil is still central to our being.
Yes. So it says something about guys, rainbows, and boys' brigades and other organisations. So you can sit down now if you want to go back to your activities, or you can stay here, that's fine. So thank you. I'm sure they're anxious to get on with their various creations. So, it's the same with the symbols of baptism. Water is a sign of a start of a new way of being, a sign that Jesus washes away, forgives any sins we might have already committed, and a sign that he will forgive any we commit in the future, as long as we say and truly mean that we are sorry for them and don't do them again. After the water, the making of the sign of the cross on the forehead of the baby, child, or adult. And that reminds us that Jesus died for us on the cross. And we remember this at Easter, and we're still in that season for giving thanks to Jesus and God for his amazing act of love for us all, as our first hymn reflected. And this is why Christians, many Christians, wear a cross of a necklace, or on a necklace, or perhaps as a badge, or we have crosses in our homes. And why there's a large wooden cross behind us and two additional crosses at this time of year, post-Easter. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus died on the cross, but that was just the beginning, because he rose again to new life, and he invites us all to share in that new life. We also give a candle to those being baptized to remind us and them that they are called to share in this new life by being a light of the world. Christians are called to make a difference in the world. Just as Jesus reached out to the poor, the sick, those on the edge of society, so we are also to reach out. Now, reaching out, taking a risk, is part of our calling. But as we are reminded in the words of the baptism service, we do not do this in our own strength. When Charlie baptized Liam, he did so saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to reach out, to take risks. Now, another question may arise here. What or who is the Holy Spirit? For the answer to that question, we will all have to be in church on the 23rd of May when we remember and give praise for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.